In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The passage of this blessed Sunday, the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Abib, as we just heard, is about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And as we all know, that the Lord, when He did this miracle, He was just showing to us His ability, that He, when He promises that He is going to raise us from the dead, He is able. So we saw what He can do, then we can believe, knowing that He, on the last day, He will raise all of those who believed in Him. So when the Lord went to the tomb and met with Martha and Mary, the sister of Lazarus, He requested that they should believe first before He would be able to do the miracle. He told Martha, "If you would believe, you would see the glory of God." Faith is mostly needed when we are in tribulation. And this is exactly the kind of faith that would save. Most of the time, people think that I need to see and then I believe. Give me evidence. Show me something, a sign. The people who deny the presence of God, they say that if what God appeared, then we would believe in Him. But this is would not be faith and belief. If you see something, this is not faith. The faith that is requested from us, that we believe and then we will be able to see the glory of God. Spiritual people acquire in their heart as a kind of an eye, the spiritual eye, by which they really believe and know as if they can touch what they believe in. So what exactly they should believe in, what kind of glory that will be revealed to them and they can see. So today we are going to speak about this believing that precedes seeing. What is the glory that is to be revealed when we believe? And the second point will be about obstacles to believing and seeing. Speaking of glory, the Lord said to her, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. The first thing that we would see is those who are with us. We believe there are there exist around us spiritual beings. There are certain kinds of powers that work on our side. Maybe we do not feel their presence, but the more we believe, the more we can see and feel their presence with us. There is a story in the book of 2 Kings. When the king of Aram decided to launch a war against Israel, he came with his chariots first against Elisha. He knew that Elisha is the secret of the strength and power of the people of Israel. So he encamped around the house of Elisha, and when he woke up in the morning, he had a servant, his name was Gehazi. Gehazi went out and he saw all of those soldiers and chariots are around the house of Elisha, and he freaked, got scared. Gehazi is a representation of a person who only can see and perceive what his physical eye can see, and that's why he was scared. But Elisha was the spiritual person who had this kind of a spiritual eye in his heart. And by this eye, he knew that he is not by himself, and those people coming against him to fight against him, he is not going to defend himself. Elisha knew that there is powers and there are heavenly beings around him as well to protect him and fight on his behalf. And then we hear Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. So the first thing that we see when we believe is those people who are around us. We know and believe that we are all guarded by an angel. Every one of us, since the day of our baptism, we have an angel who walks beside us. This angel takes care of us, takes all of our deeds and communicates it to God on a daily basis. Knowing this will make us feel confidence. Nothing will harm us. Nothing is going to be evil to us unless God allows something, and all of this will be under His protection. There was a story about, actually this is something that happened recently, when those Muslim brothers went to attack the churches in August of 2013. They went to one of the churches in the diocese, one of the dioceses in Upper Egypt, and while going inside and were burning everything, so the bishop of this diocese was already in the premises. He had a place to sleep in, and he was there. So this mob, when they went burning everything, they went up, and the bishop came out from his room, and he is by himself, and he saw them, and they saw him. So the story actually, as I heard it from the one of the priests of this diocese, that those people looked in him, in his eyes, and just stood before him and said, "You are here," and then nothing more, and they fled. Why they didn't kill him? It is very easy, it wouldn't cost them anything. Going with the momentum of burning and destroying, it wouldn't take more than a second to kill this poor person who is lonely, no one to protect him. What did they see? What exactly was an obstacle for them to harm this person? It's God's protection. Those who are around this man, that his time is not yet. The time did not come for this man to complete his strife. They couldn't touch him because he was protected by the grace of God around him. What else we see when we believe? We also come to the knowledge of the secret of the Lord Christ. Many of us, when we read the Bible, we look at it, everything looks confusing. Many people say that I don't understand anything from the Bible. It doesn't touch my heart. I feel like I'm in front of a book of maybe science or chemistry. It is too difficult for me to focus in and understand. And some people, when they read it, they do not come truly with the knowledge that God wants them to receive. They come with some kind of like strange teachings, and they get lost while they know the Bible. One of those people at the beginning was St. Paul, the apostle. When he was Saul, the Pharisee, he read the Old Testament very well. He knew it more than anybody else. But unfortunately, he was not able to see. He had the knowledge, but he could not see the glory of God that is hidden inside the Old Testament. And what happened after this, we all know. When the Lord Christ met with him, then his eyes were opened, and he was able to see the secret of Christ hidden in the Old Testament. As we can hear about what happened with him in Acts chapter 9, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Saul walked all the way, not knowing that he has kind of scales on his eyes. Many of us, we still have these scales. We read the Bible and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't touch anything in us. And we feel perplexed. Why do you feel this book is of significance? What is in it exactly that I cannot perceive and understand and unlike, as everyone is saying? Maybe I don't believe yet. Maybe I come to the Bible with an eye of doubt, with a mind that's still doubting if whatever written in this Bible is true and authentic. Maybe when I approach the Bible, I think of it as a book written many years ago, but it's not truly reflecting the truth that God wants me to believe in. When I approach the Bible with this eye of doubt and a mind that's not certain, I don't get anything out of it. Just words and verses that at the end of the day is not able to change me or make even sense for me. This is one of the glory that we will see when we believe, when we approach the Bible with a believing heart. If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. The third glory is the work of God in our lives. They say that on the last day of our lives, whenever we come to an end, and once the man's soul departs his body, the fathers say that the first thing we will see is the guardian angel, and then we will be able to see and understand how God was present beside us all the time, and then we will come to know what happened in certain situations, what God did, and how we acted and how we reacted. This is something we don't have to wait until we die in order for us to know that God was here. He did this. If we believe that He is there, if we believe in His fatherhood and His care, that He is with us as He promised, we will be able to comprehend this fact. God is with us. He promised and said, if two or three are gathered in my name, I will be among them. He is in the church today. Maybe He is sitting beside one of us today. Maybe He's walking between the pews, maybe tapping on the shoulders of some of us, maybe speaking something in the ears of some of us, but He is here. But not everyone who comes to the church today will feel His presence or realize the grace that was given because we were in the presence of the Almighty God. In the story of the appearance of the Lord Christ to the disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, He was at the shore. He was far from them. It was the dawn time. They couldn't able to see whom this man is. But when He asked them to throw the net on the side of the boat, and then they caught all of the fish after a night of gaining nothing, then one of the disciples, this is Saint John, said, as it says in John chapter 21, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Why he was the one who was able to perceive Him before anyone else? He had this kind of a spiritual eye in his heart. I can discern His presence even if I cannot see Him with my eye. This is one of the things that we will be able to see if we believe God's presence in your life. If you think of your day last week, one of the days, how could things could have gone wrong? Maybe going in your daily trip to work, you could have an accident, but everything went okay. You went to work, you did many things, maybe you could have done a mistake what cost you your job. It didn't happen. You went back home safely. You would be able to buy things for your family and provide for them. You went to a house and there is a shelter for your family. You had a family that you enjoyed their presence. All of these things that we take it for granted, it is because of God's presence. He is there. He allowed us to enjoy a day of peace. When we believe, we will be able to see this. And when we will see it, we cannot go to sleep before saying thank you. We really know what you did. Things could have gone extremely wrong. I could have an awful day unless you blessed me with your presence. When we do not believe this, when we don't perceive it, we don't see this. And this glory is hidden. And day after another, we feel like we are lonely. We are by ourselves. And we keep wondering, where is God? Why is not working in my life? Just being here in the church today is because God's grace that allowed you and me to drive coming from our homes safely to the church to enjoy the liturgy. One of the glory that is revealed to those who believe is knowing and seeing God's working in my day. He did this. He saved me from that. He covered me in this situation. The fourth glory that is revealed to those who believe is God's power and the reward of the righteous. Saint Stephen was one of the people who believed that he should not defend himself. He only there to defend the truth. He believed that he is not for himself. It doesn't make sense that I would fight with the people. Because he believed this way, and to the last minute of his life, he was just debating, arguing, and looking up. Heaven was opened before him, and he was able to see the glory of God. We read this in Acts chapter 7. But he, referring to Saint Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus is standing at the right hand of God and said, Lord, I see the heavens open. Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. If I believe that I should avenge myself, I will never be able to see the glory of God. If in my heart I feel like it is my duty to defend myself, God will never reveal Himself to me. If in my household I think that word should be answered by a word, and an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, God will never, ever be manifest, known to me. If it is all in my hand, it is up to me to decide what kind of position I'm going to take against those people who attack me, then this glory will always be hidden. We'll speak about it, we lecture about it, and we talk to each other about it. It will never be seen. Saint Stephen was able to see because he believed that only he is to defend the truth, not himself in any way or form. The fifth glory is God's unlimited power. Martha and Miriam and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, they had to believe first, and they have to say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, we believe," and then they will be able to see. We should not expect that because we know that God is able to raise people from the dead, then every story will end this way. A person will rise from the dead, and that's it. We believe that one day we will see the resurrection. We believe that all people who departed from us, one day we will meet with them. This day might come as soon as tomorrow, if our lives come to an end, or maybe if the resurrection of the all humans will be in a week, then we will see them in a week. Knowing this, believing in the power of the resurrection is what keeps us going. We know that God is able, one day everything will be restored. All those people that we say we lost them, we'll see them back again. All of the injustice that we see around us will come to an end one day when God will come and we restore everything to its original form. Jesus said to her, as we said, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Doubting will make me all the time like shaken in my faith and will endanger that one day I might see this kind of resurrection and enjoy it. The sixth glory that's to be revealed to those people who believe is heaven and what is reserved for those who love God. Saint Paul was taken to the third heaven, as we read this in his story that he mentioned about himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe none of us will experience this while we are living on earth. But believe me, many who believe in God and love Him, they see heaven in their hearts. They taste this kind of like deposit here from while they're living here. They are attached to heaven as if they can touch it. They imagine it all the time. They think about it all the time. They imagine how life will look like there, and they live heaven from here. But when this happens, when they are attracted, attached, they believe in this, it takes and consumes their thinking. This happens not only with Saint Paul, but with every person who wait for God, love Him, trust Him. And love becomes an enjoyable journey, because at the end we are waiting for this ultimate goal, heaven and God's presence and His saints in it. So what are the obstacles to believing and seeing? Why we do not see and enjoy all of this kind of glory that we just mentioned, that are revealed to those who believe? The first reason is putting more confidence in man. I trust what I can do, what I can see others doing. The psalmist teaches us every day when we pray this psalm in the Vespers prayers and in the midnight prayers, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. If I always believe that it is me, what I do, what I can work with my hand, what will make me happy, I will never be able to see. How can I see? It's exactly saying to God, "Let me drive the car of my life, just sit beside me and watch me." Christ will never accept except to be in the driving seat of the life of those people who accept Him. Asking Him to be aside, "I will do things on my own," will make us eventually to lose sight of Him, cannot perceive Him or His presence. The second reason that's an obstacle to believing is being wise in my own eyes, despising what is spiritual. It is what's happening now, the kind of persecution that we live here in the United States. If you go to your workplace and speak about God, people will look to you as a fool. If you utter a word about believing, maybe your career will come to an end. Why this is happening? Simply because people despise what is spiritual. If this comes to the heart of us, we are doomed then. We have nothing else to hope in. If we believe only when we are in the church, when we are outside, we just share with the people whatever they say, we agree with them on their materialistic point of view, we will never be able to see and the glory of God. Am I wise in my own eyes? You sit sometimes with people and keep saying things that's in a way irrespectable about God and about the Bible, and speak as if like they are knowledgeable, and they give the people around them the sense that they know what they are talking about. The Bible says and teaches us, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. Only the fool who live in this life thinking in themselves that they know the truth, and the truth is God does not exist. The third obstacle to seeing, believing and seeing is loving what is materialistic. If my heart always towards what I can see, what I can touch, it is what always fascinates me, is what can I acquire in terms of materials, I will never be able to see the glory of God. If my interest is on every day, how I look, what kind of new clothes I'm going to buy, and all of this kind of stuff, nothing wrong with being, in a way, excited about these things, but don't put your heart on them. Being so much attached to these will never make you able to see. You come to the church, everything is blank. No feelings, no heart, nothing. Prayer is the most difficult task. Standing for a couple of minutes is unbearable. Can spend hours playing a game on the computer, but I cannot stand for 5 minutes and pray. Why? Because my senses are taken. I am taken captive into whatever materialistic. How can we live like this and we expect to see the glory of God? The glory of God is revealed to believers. Believers live by faith. Their heart is after what's spiritual. The fourth obstacle is seeking to see before believing. The other way around. People say, let me see and I believe. Prove it to me and then I will believe. Science goes this way. Show me evidence, I believe it. This is science. But believing is not the same. Believing is the other way. I believe and then I will see. Many people are not willing to take the adventure of faith. I want evidence. And even when they read the Bible, they try to explain it on scientific basis. What exactly happened so the sea would divide? A kind of storm came with this kind of strength and did this and this and this. Then this is not a miracle then. This is not faith. So trying or seeking to see first in order for my mind to comprehend is not believing. Living this way also will hinder us from seeing the glory of God. The fifth obstacle is expecting the immediate outcome as per my heart's desire. I believe that God is able, and accordingly, I want Him to act now and do things as I wish. But this is not faith. Believing is to know that God is able and He is wise enough to discern what is best for you. And then you would accept any kind of outcome based on your belief in the goodness and wisdom of God. Sometimes people say that God expects us to believe so He would move mountains. And then you find people saying, with the name of Lord Jesus, this is going to happen. How would you know that this is God's will? Did God reveal to you something? If He didn't, then why you speak with this confidence? Saying you should not doubt. I do not doubt, but I have to understand God's wisdom and economy might be different than mine. I believe that He is able, but maybe He doesn't want this to happen. Maybe God is not going to give me at all this thing that I'm asking for. He's still good, and I will come to one day to magnify and exalt Him because He didn't give me what I'm asking for. If at all times I'm expecting God to act on my demand immediately, give me this today, tomorrow, otherwise I wouldn't believe, I will never believe, I will never be able to see the glory of God. The sixth obstacle, the last one we'll talk about today, is absence of a spiritual work. If I am a normal person, you know that St. Paul speaks about a carnal person who speaks for the who lives for his flesh. And there is kind of a normal person. And there is a spiritual being. We are all requested to be spiritual. To see the glory of God that is spiritual, we have to live as spiritual beings. There is some kind of a spiritual work. There are prayers. There is readings. There is time when we sit with the Bible. By then, our eyes will be opened and we will see. If this spiritual work is absent, we are so lazy to carry it on, to carry on with it, then why am I expected to see this? If I am a spiritual being, I live as a spiritual person, I practice what's spiritual, I interact with God, I receive from Him, and I talk with Him, and then I will develop this spiritual sense, spiritual eye, by which I can see what now the Bible is telling me. But if this is absent, why should I expect that I would see the glory of God? Again, there are many stories, many lessons that we can learn from the story of raising of Lazarus. One of them that we focus on today is we have to believe in order for us to be able to see. Seeing comes after believing, not the other way around. The glory of God that is going to be revealed to us when we believe is that we will be able to see those who are with us. The knowledge of the secret of the Lord Christ, the work of God in our lives, God's power and the reward of the righteous, God's unlimited power and heaven that is revealed and what is reserved for those who love God. May the Lord grant us this kind of faith by which we live and by which we will be able also to see. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.